Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Tuesday morning with me, Dave Chan Smith on Basingstoke Radio and Community Connections. And we've got Claire on the line. Good morning to you, Claire. You all right?
Good morning. I'm very well, Dave. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time this morning.
That's not a problem. These lazy August days are what we live for, us gardeners, that sometimes it's actually a bit bizarrely a bit quieter because, you know, we're not running around trying to get things planted. But yeah, it's always
absolutely
lovely to chat and always lovely to catch up with you and listeners.
Now, today we're talking about, well, we threw it out last week, didn't we? The week before last, we threw it out to our listeners and said, if there's a colour, we asked some listeners to email in and pick a colour for plants, didn't we?
We did indeed. And thank you for everyone who emailed in. Brilliant take up. And we thought we'd go with a colour picked by Jasmine from Beggarwood.
So that's right, isn't it?
Jasmine.
Jasmine, that's a planty name, isn't it, Jasmine?
It is, absolutely. So thank you so much for getting in touch. And Jasmine was suggesting we should go for red plants.
Oh, red plants.
So we'll perhaps leave Jasmine, because we did make everyone do a bit of work by saying if you'd like to suggest a colour, please also suggest a song. But we'll leave Jasmine's song for the end, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. Okay.
That's
Yeah.
great.
All right then.
Okay.
All over to
So
you then about red plants.
not a problem. So red plants are really interesting, because it's a very strong, vibrant colour. The effect of including red in your planting scheme means it brings the planting closer to you. So pale pastel colours tend to make things recede. So if you want to make your garden look bigger, pastels will make it look softer and further away. But if you want drama and bringing excitement, the bright colours, the hot colours like the reds and the oranges and the pinks actually bring the planting closer to you. So it's actually a bit of a design trick that you can use to kind of work out how you want your space to make you feel. Do you like hot colours, Dave?
Yeah, I don't mind hot colours. I prefer
Yeah.
hot food, but there you go.
Indeed, indeed. Well, I've picked up a couple of plants which I thought would be nice to talk about, partly because a couple of them are in flower at the moment. Quite often in August, as I was saying, that often it's a bit of a transitional month. Lots of plants which have been flowering throughout the year are having a bit of a pause called summer dormancy. And a lot of kind of the autumn flowering haven't really got going yet. But one of the plants which typically is in flower at this time of year is Crocosmia, which is also called Montbretia. And there's a very good one called Lucifer. So I thought we'd go red hot damnation and hell and have a plant called Lucifer to kick us off. And Crocosmia has long, thin green leaves and then a big, tall, arching stem, which you have lots of little red flowers off the top, almost like a kind of a fishing line bow. And it's one of these plants that some of them are almost like a weed, and in some places, in some parts of England and the UK, it's escaped from gardens and is going everywhere. And that's the common version of Crocosmia. You will find it as far north as Shetland and down in the southwest of England. But Lucifer, which is the one I'm suggesting, if you are going to go for a Crocosmia, go for something like this, is not as invasive, it's not as difficult to control. Now, a lot of people find the Crocosmia, they flower brilliantly in year one and year two, but then they don't do as well and you just get lots of green, which is fine, but we want them for their red, fiery flowers. So what could be going wrong? Well, Crocosmia like growing in slightly wet conditions, which is why they do so well in Devon and Cornwall and in the islands around the United Kingdom. So that tells you they like a bit of moisture. And so what happens is, as the plant gets bigger and bigger and bigger, corms, the bit at the centre, tends not to have enough moisture, which means it doesn't get to produce the flowers. So it's an easy fix. If you have Crocosmia and it's not done well, this autumn, I'm going to ask you to dig it all up, chop it into smaller pieces, and then replant it so there's space around each of the clumps for that moisture to get into. And we do you remember, Dave, a while back we did a whole podcast about lifting and moving plants for free.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I think they're still on there, I think.
I think it's still on the back catalogue, so have a look-see if that's of interest. So that's Crocosmia lucifer. The second one, because we're talking about red, is I thought we could deal with a classic red, which is the red poppies. And we've just had VJ Day, haven't we? And I just thought it'd be good to celebrate the good old field poppy that we see and we love. It's quite often we see it in wildflower mixes, that bright, very, very delicate red flowers surrounding that very, very dark centre. And the reason I'm mentioning it now is because if you have had poppies flowering in your garden, now is the ideal time to be collecting the seeds of those poppies, because collecting seeds means plants for free. So if you collect the seeds now, and you can either sprinkle them just where you want them to go, they like light, they don't like to be buried deep in the earth, which is why we typically see them on battlefields, where there's lots of kind of exposed soil, and just gently sprinkle them everywhere, keep the soil moist. Now that might be a challenge at the moment, so if you want to hold off, just get those seed heads of those poppies and store them somewhere cool and dry in a cardboard bag or something like that. Just label it as my top tip, because if you collect lots of seeds and you forget what labels what, guaranteed you'll think you remember, but it's very easy to not in the end.
Yeah. And those poppy seeds, are they the ones you can eat as well?
As I say, you can eat everything once. I'm not sure. It's not
Okay.
the opium poppy. It's not the opium poppy.
Ah.
Field poppy, Papaver roeus, is the one that I'm
Oh,
talking
here
about.
we
So it's
go.
the kind of the native one. Here we go. There we
Here
are.
we go. That's
Klaxon for
it.
the Latin. Klaxon
Yeah.
for the Latin. Yeah. So that's that. Now, something which likes a different soil type completely, because I know lots of us have richer soils, particularly those of us in Basingstoke around the clay seams. One of the really popular flowers, which is coming into its own now, are the dahlias or the dahlias. The dahlias or the dahlias, I don't know how to pronounce them. And frankly, there aren't any Romans around to tell me how I'm pronouncing Latin. So dahlias is what I'll call them. And
Yeah.
these are big pom-pom flowers, and they flower all the way through from now until the first frosts. So they're a really good long season of interest. And there's a lovely one called Christopher Taylor. Now, I don't know who Christopher Taylor was. I don't know if he's related. What's that famous actress whose surname is Taylor?
I know you mean. I can't think of, oh, what's
Yeah.
her name?
It will come to us in a minute.
Yeah,
You
okay.
think on that while
I'll
I
think of it,
waffle
yeah,
on.
okay.
While I waffle on. Well, Dahlia Christopher Taylor is a deep, beautiful crimson red, really tall. So, Christopher Taylor, he will get up to 120 centimeters. That's about 3 to 4 foot. So, a really big dahlia. So, the one thing to do to get them, make sure they flower, is keep watering them. And keep mulching them, because they're quite hungry feeders are dahlias. But the most important thing is to snip off the old flowers. And sometimes this is a bit tricky, because unfortunately for dahlias, the flower head, which is about to come into flower, looks very similar to the flower which has gone over. But there's two simple ways you can work this out. First off, give your dahlia buds a bit of a squeeze. Now, if it's nice and firm, that's flower about to come. But if it's ever so slightly soft and a bit squishy, snip that off. And the other way to tell is the flower to come is round, the bud is round and tight, but the bud which is finished is longer, and it's almost like got a pointy, almost like a cone, rather than it being a round, tight little sticky bun almost. So that's how to tell what to snip off and what to leave. But the more you snip off those softer, more cone-like buds, the more you'll get the tight, round, sticky bun buds, which means more flowers for you.
Right, Liz Taylor.
Thank you so much. It shouldn't have taken us that long, should it?
No, good
But
old
I.
Alex. Good old Alexa, that's what I say.
Good old Alexa. Good old
Yeah.
Alexa. Yeah. So that's we are. That's dahlias. And then I thought we can't really talk about red plants without talking about red roses. I
Yeah,
mean, red roses are
that's about the
red.
only one I would know would be a red rose. That, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And roses are so good, so good. And they've had actually a very good year. They haven't suffered too much from something called black spot, which is a fungal disease this year. They've had a really stonker of a year. But you might find your red roses or your white roses or your pink roses have had a bit of a pause over August while it's been so hot. And this is really normal with roses. Each plant has a kind of a summer dormancy point where they kind of just go into a bit of a siesta mode. And so what you might find is is your roses, which have stopped blooming for a while, might well restart in the autumn. And the way to do that is to deadhead them. And a bit like we're talking about the dahlias, you're going to snip off all those old roses, because if you leave them there, they will form rose hips, which is, nice for birds and nice for biodiversity. Leave a couple if you wish, but if you want to prioritize more flowers, cut back to the next set of a big lot of leaves. Like, you're looking for a pattern of about five leaves in a circle, and that is where most of the hormones will be. So that's where your next big flower push will be. So
Wow,
don't
look at
just
that.
take off,
I've learned
don't
something.
just take off the flowers, the old petals, but snip back to where you see a nice big group of leaves, and that will really help stimulate the new flower growth. So yeah, is that gone onto the lesson? Is that on in the lesson
Yeah,
notes then, Dave?
I think I might have to make a note of that.
Yeah,
I
well,
learned
that's
something.
good. Yeah.
I do learn something every time I talk to you. I do learn something and something new.
Well,
Apart from Latin,
thank
I can never
you.
remember the Latin words. Oh, I just give up with that.
I mean, just hearing Latin names once, they're not going to go in, are they? I mean,
No.
but it's repetition. If you think about when you were young, perhaps you learned lots of names of dinosaurs, and Tyrannosaurus Rex and
And
Diplodocus. Those are all Latin
Cyclopoculus or
names.
whatever. The
Triceratops,
one-eyed dinosaur. Giphyosaurus. Oh, I thought I'd get that
And
joke
apart.
in. Yeah.
And that is Latin as well, but because it's familiar to us and we've said it and we've heard it lots of times, it's easy to go in. And the same with these Latin names, it's just repetition and knowing and seeing them. So if dear listeners, you're listening and thinking, I will never remember these, I never remember Latin names first off. It's a process, a bit like drip feeding with the
Yeah.
dinosaur names when we're kids. They go in
If
eventually.
that's right, if you can't remember, then just Instagram the Garden Editor, and I'm sure Claire will tell you. Follow
Absolutely.
Claire on her socials. That's what you need to do, don't it, Claire? Follow your
Yeah,
socials.
indeed. We're always happy to have a chat on socials. We do like that. And then I thought I would finish off again with a really common plant, which people might have been looking at it this year and thinking, oh, is that normal? Is that okay? And it's a salvia, which is called hot lips. So please keep it clean. But hot lips is a shrubby salvia, and the flowers are normally red and white. So there are two colours in one little flower head, and it's a really popular, really good kind of sub shrub. Does very well in full soil, full sun in poor soil. So it's a really cracker of a plant, very drought tolerant. But you might have think, oh my goodness, have I got a problem with my hot lips because it's more white than red and white. But I just want to reassure listeners, this is very normal. Again, it's another symptom of what we call about the summer dormancy. And actually, the colours change in the floral heads. So when the temperature drops again, you'll see it reverting to that white and red typical flag that you would see normally on your hot lips. So it's just a kind of a reassuring message. That is just the plant reacting to the environment and the climatic conditions. It's nothing to worry about. Crack on and enjoy your hot lips.
They're quite clever, aren't they? Some the plants are quite clever when you think about it.
And you always say that as well, Dave, which is
Yeah.
also, I think we have a thing in this country called plant blindness, that we're really good at identifying birds or animals,
Yeah.
but quite often plants, it's just kind of like a general green
It's just
background to
plant,
our
isn't it?
lives.
Yeah, plant
It's
or
just
flowers.
plant. A lot of what we're trying to do here is just
Educate,
helping
educate,
people.
educate
Yeah.
Basingstoke community about plants
Yeah.
and flowers
Well,
and
just enjoy looking at them, because they're all different.
yeah,
And they've all evolved in so many different ways to do really cool stuff.
that's right.
That was my list. But before we reveal before we reveal Jasmine's track of the week,
Yeah,
should we ask listeners whether they want to do this again and suggest another colour and another track?
if let's should we do another colour for week after next? Yeah,
I
let's
think
do
we could,
that.
couldn't
Yeah,
we?
let's do that. Okay. All
Yeah.
right. So if you're out there listening and you'd like to put your suggestion in, then if you can email us, it's studio@basingstokecommunityradio.org.uk. Just put your name there and the colour that you would like to know about where it comes to plants and flowers, and also a song suggestion to link in with that colour. You've got between now and what, say, 1:30 today to get your suggestions in, and I'll pass them on to Claire for 2 weeks today. So that'd be all right. Yeah, well, I'll look forward to that.
Will be.
Okay.
Yeah, and just to remind people, we've had blue and white and
White
red so
and red
far.
here.
So, those three colours are out, but the rest of the rainbow, it's up to you, dear listeners, and we look forward to hearing what your suggestions
Yeah,
are.
that'd be good, wouldn't it? Okay, right. So, Jasmine's song selection for today. I'm going to let you say it because I've told you what it is already. So, go on, you tell me, like you would
Jasmine, this is a
normally.
indeed. Well, Jasmine, this is a great song, and I hadn't heard it in ages. So you gave me a great excuse to put it on and dance around like a loon. So thank you so much. Jasmine's song, which is brilliantly on point for all the red plants we've been talking about, is Billy Ocean's "Red Light Spells Danger." So, red light
Perfect.
spells danger, please.
Thank you very much. And I will speak to you in a couple of weeks, Claire. Thank you very much.
Indeed. Take care, everyone.
All right.
Happy
Thank
gardening.
you. And you.
Bye.
Right. Okay. Let's get that song on then for Jasmine. Here's the song from Billy Ocean and Red Light Spells Danger.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.